When we moved from Aruba to Sweden, we weren't really sure what to do with our home in Aruba. We didn't want to sell the space that had so many memories and offered us a place to stay when we returned to the island. But what else could we do after moving internationally? That's when my husband came up with a brilliant plan. We can become hosts on Airbnb. Since starting this, I can officially say my husband had the best idea ever. The process of getting our property on Airbnb was so easy. We were able to ask other hosts for tips and got a lot of great feedback. And actually, we still get tons of good feedback and we're constantly improving our space. And Airbnb is really flexible. You just choose the dates you want to host. So if you don't have a full-time rental property like us, that's perfect too. Hosting on Airbnb is great for anyone who frequently travels or has the extra space or has a seasonal house or even someone who always goes away at the same time of year for family traditions or work events. We all know the cost of living is excessive right now, so you can get more out of your space when you host on Airbnb. The added income has been so important for my family and has given my husband a project to manage that he genuinely enjoys. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you ever have to send money to another country? If you do, then you need to know about TransferWise, the cheaper and easier way to send money abroad. TransferWise was founded by two engineers, Tavit and Christo, who frequently needed to send money to family and friends across the globe. They felt trapped by the big bank fees and bad exchange rates, and they wondered, what if we could connect with other people sending money internationally and bypass the banks entirely? That was 6 years ago. Today, a community of millions use TransferWise. There are people sending money back home, businesses paying suppliers, and freelancers getting paid. The list goes on. TransferWise gives you a great exchange rate and low fees. But what I really like is that the folks at TransferWise are all about how much money they save people, not how much money they make off of them. That's people like you who now have extra to spend on more important things. Because no one ever said, it's important that my bank gets some extra fees out of my life. See how much you could save at TransferWise.com or in the TransferWise app. Again, that's TransferWise.com. TransferWise, as in I'm going to do something wise today. TransferWise.com. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. I am speaking to you today from a very interesting space. So the physical space that I've found myself in right now, I don't even know how to explain it. I record these podcasts every week, and because I live my life on the go, I travel a lot, I don't really have one solid, you know, place where I'm at every day of the week. I sometimes record these podcasts from really interesting places. So last week I recorded in my tiny little apartment here in Stockholm. The week before I was in Öland, an island outside of Sweden where I was overlooking the ocean. It was beautiful. And now this week I am in a tiny little meditation room located at our new co-working space in downtown Stockholm. So we're sitting at this super cool co-working space called Norrsken House on Birgjalsgatan in Stockholm. And it's absolutely amazing. Like, this co-working space is, everything is green, everything is glass. You see the sky from inside, and they have facilities for everything. Whether it's like, there's a beautiful production room, there's a silent space, there's Skype booths. There is a meditation room, which is, of course, my favorite piece. And then all of these kind of meeting rooms and conference rooms that you can rent and sit in. And we're here, 108, our online yoga platform sits here. Or actually, it's now becoming something much greater and bigger than that. But I had to record the podcast today and I didn't know how or where to do it. So I just brought my stuff and I thought, you know, I'm going to find a space to make this happen. And it led me to the meditation room. It's super tiny. There's cushions all around. There's yoga mats in here. I mean, it's kind of interesting that this is where I find myself on a day like today. And as I'm speaking now, I can feel my eyes are welling up. I feel like I need a good cry. Am I the only one who needs like a good cry? Okay, I'm crying now. I've just had a really, really shitty night, like a really challenging week. I don't know what's going on in my life, but Mercury in retrograde, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm just going to take a moment now and let myself cry a little bit. So I just came from the shittiest night of all time, like of all time ever. I talk a lot about my baby in these podcasts, and I got a comment the other day from someone that said something along the lines of, oh, I miss when you were just yoga girl and you would share inspirational things and yoga every day, and I would come to your account and feel inspired to practice, and now it's just baby. And it really, okay, I'm in kind of a low space right now, not feeling amazing, so it really hit me like, oh God, like I've become one of those moms that just shares photos of her baby every single day. And I decided when I got pregnant, I'm not going to be that mom. It's just, I don't know how to not post photos of her every day. And also, I don't want to fake anything. That's the challenge here. I'm really sitting in the space where I feel it's challenging because I am this yoga girl person. I want to be this yoga girl person. But right now, I'm mostly just mom. And even that sentence, just saying that like that, it makes me cry a little bit. I'm mostly just mom. So I can sense there's pain in that for me right now. This new identity of mine, or this new, I mean, it's new since 5.5 months that I'm mom. And it's the most beautiful time I've ever experienced. Like, my baby has just blown my heart wide open. Like, everything is beautiful. I love her more than life. But it's also really challenging, you guys. Like, it's really, yeah, it's really, really hard. And I was telling someone the other day, a friend of mine who was like, yeah, I don't want babies. It's just, all I have to do is sit with one of my friends who has a baby for 5 minutes and I know, okay, it's just not for me. I know I could never go without sleep. I couldn't have my life like disrupted in that way. Everything changed. Like I need my space and my way. I don't think motherhood is for me. And I told her, I said, you know, the challenging part about motherhood, at least in my book, is it's not the logistical stuff. Like it's not just the, yeah, sleep deprivation is really hard and, you know, my time is not mine anymore. I can't just at a drop of a hat decide, okay, I'm going to go to yoga, I'm going to do this. I'm not the master of my own universe anymore, but I have this tiny little being that's more important than everything. So everything revolves around her, and how she feels kind of dictates my day. But all of that stuff, like all the logistics of it, like whether or not she's eating or sleeping or changing diapers and all of this, like that's not the hard part. The hard part about being a mom is this overwhelming sense of responsibility and this overwhelming love. Like the love is, this is going to be one of those podcasts where basically I just sit and cry. So I really appreciate that I'm able to do that. I'm recognizing that right now. The fact that I can record a podcast every week that hundreds of thousands of people listen to, and I feel safe enough to just sit here and cry and still share that with the world. I really appreciate all of you for listening and this community for being so welcoming. I don't feel like I have to fake it or pretend or, you know what, let's talk, have a podcast about something super exciting that I did this week or blah, blah, blah. Like I have exciting stuff I could talk about and things we're doing and maybe there's a TV show that we're creating and a new line of mala beads that I'm making and like new offices that we have and all this exciting stuff, like relaunching things. I'm not feeling any of that right now. I'm feeling totally overwhelmed. I'm feeling totally exhausted, like so exhausted. And whenever I cry, I get really snotty, like I blow my nose a lot, so maybe that's what's going to happen now. No, but what's hard about motherhood, it's this overwhelming responsibility. So, for instance, last night was a shitty, shitty night. We've had already weeks, like several weeks at a time, of not really sleeping well. And this is showing up for me. I'm able to mentally kind of power through anything. Like anything. And that's, I don't know. I think it's a good and a bad thing. So I can be going through something really horrible, really awful, really intense, have the shittiest day of all time, and I can still put on that kind of face of, you know, work or, like I've done that a lot of times where I do like TV interviews or I'm teaching a class for like hundreds of people and I'm not feeling great, but I can still put on that face of, hey, let's focus on you. And I kind of direct the attention and awareness away from me. And it's something that since I became a mom, I'm not so good at doing anymore. I mean, there's a new level of vulnerability in me that I don't want to lose. I don't want to feel something, and then just because I'm in the meeting with someone who maybe isn't in the same space as I, fake it. You know, I'm really sick of pretending. I want to feel what I feel in the moment that I fucking feel it, and I want to surround myself only with people who are okay with that. Like, I don't want to have a meeting with someone who would be uncomfortable about the fact that I'm having a rough day, if I'm having a rough day, or who wouldn't like me to bring my baby, for instance, with me to that meeting, or I don't know. I'm sick and tired of putting on that face of like business and let's do this way, or pretending that everything is awesome, even if it's not. And also the other way around, like if I'm super joyful and happy, like I wanna be silly and childish and just like, I don't want to really wear this face of what you're supposed to do or what you're supposed to be in social situations. I don't know. Is that weird? I don't know. Okay, I'm losing my train of thought, but I have this mental capability to power through anything. And the sleep deprivation stuff, it's wearing me down. Like, holy fucking shit. And I'm not sure if this will resonate with anyone who doesn't have kids, because I couldn't have imagined in a million years ever this. No. And I'm not the type of person who's like really into sleep. Like, sleep has never been a huge thing for me. I'm not one of those people that like wants to sleep all day or have a really hard time getting up in the morning. I just, you know, I always haven't. It's easy for me to fall asleep and it's easy for me to wake up. And I just, sleep is like part of just what the day is. But I'm not attached to sleep. My husband, for instance, is extremely attached to sleep. and if he has to wake up and do something in the morning, but he doesn't feel ready to do it, maybe it will show up and be challenging for him for the whole rest of that day. Like with the baby, if he's up at night with the baby, the rest of the day, you can really see that in him. Like, he's like a zombie. And for me, I never had that issue, and I could never imagine that issue being a thing. Like, I could go out and party all night or like dance all night and still get up at 7 and do yoga or teach a class and like be totally fine. But now it's been weeks and weeks of not properly sleeping, and it's getting to me. It's getting to me on a level that makes me just want to like curl up in a little ball in a corner and just cry, which is kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm in this weird little meditation area of this office where around me there's thousands of people, or I don't know, hundreds of people being really busy just outside this door. And then I'm in here crying, recording a podcast. And I'm starting to realize that when you're sleep deprived, nothing works. Like, and nothing works. Everything just starts falling apart, like all around me. And I get really sensitive to things I normally wouldn't take seriously. So like that comment I got the other day of, oh, like, I'm so sick that this is like a baby account now, or like, this is a baby space. This used to be inspiring. Now it's just baby. And I got so sad about it. Like, I felt so, oh, no. Which led me to this thought of like, okay, I'm just a mom now, which is really not like an accurate thing to say. Just a mom. Like, there's no such thing as just a mom. Like, being a mom is probably the greatest role I'll ever carry. Like, this is probably it's the most important thing I'll ever do in my life. So it's not just being a mom. But I guess what I'm trying to say is a part of me really misses these other parts of myself that I used to take for granted. Like the person who gets to practice a lot of yoga. Like, I miss that so much. I miss it. I miss it. I miss it. The person who feels really good in her body. I miss that so much. I have so much pain in my body right now. I can't even describe. And it's all relating back to sleep. So because she's not sleeping, and trust me, like, we've gotten all the advice, we've tried everything. And I don't know if it's the fact that like we haven't had a solid routine because we're traveling, or she's just like she's teething and she's not feeling good, or I don't know. Like on a good night, she wakes up maybe three times in the night to feed, to eat, which wouldn't bother me normally, but because I'm never really rested, like those three times are like, oh, it's so hard. It's super painful. And that's a good night. On a bad night, like yesterday, she's up from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Like, we were up literally the entire night, and she's crying, and she's crying, and I don't know why she's crying. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what it is. Like, we fed her some, she had some potato yesterday for the second day in a row, just a little bit. Maybe her stomach was hurting. I don't know. Maybe she's teething. Maybe she's just pissed off. I don't know. I've had 2 days in a row where I've been working really like at the office. She's been with Dennis like full days. I pump so she has milk throughout the day, but it's the first time that she's really kind of been without me in the day. Maybe she's like, maybe she's missing me. Maybe she's not feeling safe. I don't know. Like I can go round and round of like, what is wrong? Why isn't she sleeping? I don't fucking know. But fact of the matter is she's just not. And it's killing me. It's killing me, and it's making me question everything around me. And last night she's crying like she's in pain, and she fell asleep again, and she's up again, and she fell asleep again, and then finally she's just awake. And then we had like an hour, I think, middle of the night, at least an hour, where she was just silently awake, but I couldn't put her down. Like I was just standing in the room holding her at like 3 a.m, just swaying side to side, just, you know. And this not sleeping, it makes my body ache in a way that I've never experienced. Like I have pain somewhere in my body every day of the week. Everything hurts. Everything hurts. And I also think when she does fall asleep, it's like such a fragile sleep, and it becomes so important that she stays asleep that whatever position I'm in bed, I just freeze. Like I'm scared to move my limbs at all, because if I make any noise, she might wake up and then everything starts over again. So whatever position I happen to be in when she falls asleep, I freeze like that, and I sleep in the most, I mean, it's not even, I don't think I can call it sleep. I'm like dozing off half asleep in these weird positions. So I have pain in my lower back, insane pain in my lower back, my upper back, my shoulders, my neck. Like I can't really turn my head side to side. And then I'm realizing now this is just every day. It's not like I threw my back out and I have pain and then it passes and I'm back to normal, which is normally how my back pain shows up. It's every day I'm aching. Every day something hurts all the time. And then I make it to like one yoga class, and 90 minutes of yoga is not enough to offset like 12 hours of shit in the middle of the night of just like being tense. And oh, I can feel all this tension of not sleeping. It's just carrying, it's gathering in my body, and I'm carrying with me throughout the day. And everything just hurts. So I miss that. I miss being a person who feels good in her body, that has a body that feels spacious and strong and just not achy everywhere. I miss that. I miss being a person who has control over her own time. I miss that. I really do. And also part of it, what I was just touched on, that the challenge of being a mom. So this overwhelming love. Like sometimes I don't know what to do with it. And that's scary. The love is so intense. It's too much. Like, I don't know. It's almost uncomfortable. Like how much I love this tiny little fragile being. And now she's starting to move around. Like she's almost crawling now. I mean, she's an all day. Like no matter how hard our nights are, all day she just smiles. Like she's the happiest baby. It's like she... I don't know. There's no gray area with her. Like it's like really shitty nights, really awesome days. So no matter what's been going on at night, I wake up in the morning and she just lifts her little head and she looks at me and she beams. Like she's happiest like baby ever. I don't know what's happening. And this overwhelming love, it's like, it's a new level of living, I guess. I mean, I've never lived before with a sense of, like that saying, you know, like you have your heart living outside of your body. I mean, I love a lot of people. Like I love my husband. I mean, holy shit, I love my husband so much. I love my family. I love my sisters, my mom, my dad. I love our dogs, like our animals. Ringo has always been like my little baby. the love I have for my loved ones, it's huge. It's massive. It's so powerful. But the love I feel for this tiny little child who refuses to sleep and smiles all day long, it's a scary level of love. And at the back of my head all day long, like all day, no matter what I'm doing, I kind of have it at the back of my head, like, what is she doing? Is she safe? Is she okay? Is she happy? Is she crying? Even when I'm not with her. And when I'm with her, I'm just so immersed in her. And it's weird because it makes me put all my own needs aside, like they're not important anymore. And then the longer I do that, of course, the shittier I feel. And I'm at a place right now where I just think I need to change something. Like I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. I need to get back to a place where I feel good in my body and where I can sleep and feel rested. And I don't know how to arrive at that place. I don't know. I wish I could just tell my 5.5-month-old baby girl, please, let's have 12 hours of just solid sleep. Just one night of like a night of sleep, and then I'm good. Like then we can like rock it again. I'm just not getting that time. And people keep telling me like, you're supposed to sleep when your baby sleeps. You need to rest whenever she rests, sleep in the day. I can't. I've never ever in my life been a person that can nap. Like I've never taken a nap in the day in my life. I don't know how to do that. I can't sleep on planes. I can't sleep in the day. I'm just not able to.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Shopping can sometimes be tiring and fruitless. Have you ever found yourself wearing clothes with holes or stains in them because you don't have the time to shop for a replacement, or your size is fluctuating and your clothes seem to always be either too loose or too tight? As a business owner and mother of a baby, going to a clothing store is the last thing I have time and energy for right now. Even regular online shopping is a total game of quickly guessing and hoping something is going to work out. Well, you can take the time, the challenge, and the uncertainty out of your shopping with La Tote. La Tote is a personalized box of brand name rental clothing and accessories delivered right to your door. La Tote's experts are your personal fashion assistants, finding you your perfect fit better than any other retailer can. If you're expecting, check out their maternity totes. Now, you don't have to buy maternity clothes that you'll wear for only 1 month or less, but you can actually return them. Go to letote.com, that's letote.com, to get started for as low as $39 a month. Enter promo code YOGA at the checkout and get 50% off of your first month. Once you sign up, you'll receive your completely customized tote within days. Choose between one or unlimited totes a month. Just wear what you want and return everything in the mail when you're done. It's that easy. Again, that's letote.com. Enter code YOGA and feel fabulous with fashion delivered right to your door.
Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
So no matter how exhausted and tired I am, I'm just like lying there awake, even if I'm trying to nap. So I guess the bigger challenge here is the sentence I spoke at the beginning of this podcast that made me immediately cry, like being just a mom. Yeah, I don't want to be just a mom. I want to be a mom. I love being a mom. I love my daughter, but I also miss my life. Is that a horrible thing to say? Am I going to get like lynched on Instagram now by an angry mob of mothers? Am I allowed to say that I miss my old life? Like there's a lightness and a kind of, with my old life, I could be as irresponsible as I wanted. Like no, there were no repercussions to that at all. Like if I wanted to stay up all night and do nothing and watch Netflix or go out drinking or work like an insane person for 20 hours a day, like however I chose to spend my time, whether that was good or bad, the only person who would ever suffer from that was me. That's really the thing. There's no big repercussions to anything. Now, everything I do really, it vibrates through my baby girl. So I'm not, it's not just my life anymore. And I think I'm never, ever going to be alone in that way again. And I think that's really hard. I think that's also why I don't have space in the day to sit and just feel. So it actually takes me like a frantic day. Okay, so shitty night. I told you all about that last night. I get up in the morning. She's smiling and super happy. And I'm so thankful I have a husband who's like, oh, he's just rocking it these days. We had a really challenging couple of weeks, a few weeks back. It was really hard for me when he was training for Ironman. So Ironman, if you don't know, it's like, it's the most insane like physical feat ever, where basically you swim 4 or 5 kilometers and you bike 180 kilometers and then you do a marathon after that. It took him 14 hours to do it. And the cutest thing that he said, ugh, almost made me cry. He said at the end of it, when he was running the marathon, he was running slower and he was walking because he didn't want it to end because he loved it so much. And I can see that now, like him doing the Ironman, that was something just for him. Like no one else was involved there. Like it had nothing to do with baby or me or family life or work. Like that was something that Dennis got to do for Dennis. So even though it's like this crazy hard physical feat, he tried to stretch it out because he didn't want it to end because that was his own time. And that's so extreme. Like, are you serious? Like, you know, do we have to go to these extents of literally becoming iron men or iron women to feel like we have time for ourselves as parents? Like, I don't think it's supposed to be that way. I'm also trying to cut myself some slack because this is the first time we're doing this and it's only been 5 months and, you know, we're figuring it out as we go. I'm assuming it's going to get easier and then harder and then easier again. But yeah, that's what he did. But now Ironman is over and he's super, super immersed in baby. So even though we had the shittiest night of all time, like he wakes up and he's smiling and making jokes and, you know, like Lea Luna is lying on the bed just cracking up, like having a super awesome time. And he's like laughing at her. He's like, huh, you're pretending like last night didn't even happen, huh? Like last like 10 hours don't even exist now. Like, look at how happy we are. And just, it's all fine. But I just feel so shitty in my body. So I knew this morning I had a meeting at 11. I had a meeting with a TV network. I almost canceled it because that's how crappy I felt. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, no, I'm going to go do this. Also, at some point, I got to record this podcast. So I might as well get out of our apartment and do that. And then because I'm feeling really crappy, I was trying to think today, okay, if I'm going to really just tell the truth about how I'm having a really crappy time right now, how can I make that somehow, like give whoever's listening, like a little nugget of inspiration? Because I don't want this podcast to be me complaining and then that's it. Like it's me complaining, cut to a commercial, and then I'll complain a little more and then and then I'm out. Like, no. I'm hoping that this vulnerability and just me opening up for what is every single week, that it allows you, first of all, to not feel alone. Like that's a really important thing to know, that, you know, maybe it's a nice thing, maybe it's a good thing for you listening, just hearing me ranting about stuff that's hard, because I know people don't generally do that in regular day-to-day life. We tend to highlight only the things that are working and everything that's beautiful. And I try really hard to share the not so beautiful and the shitty stuff too. And especially with the podcast, it's definitely a deepening of that. So I hope, yeah, I hope I can leave at least with a little bit of inspiration for something. So what I was thinking was, okay, when I have a crappy day like today, what do I do? Like, what are my automatic go-tos to help me feel a little bit better? And I was looking at that this morning because I just left the house and I did everything like on autopilot because I'm a zombie. I don't even know. Like, I looked in the mirror just now. I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh, I put makeup on. I forgot that I put makeup on. I'm fully operating on another level of just life right now. But so what I did was, in the morning, we put on music at home. That really helps. Our favorite music is Harry Belafonte. I don't know if anybody's familiar with him. We decided, or we found out when Lea Luna was really little, that if we listened to like old school Calypso music, she really, like, it really calms her and it would like make her stop crying if she was cranky. So that stuck. So we listened to that a lot. Harry Belafonte has this song called Deo. It's the banana song. If you, I mean, you know, come Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana. You know what I'm talking about? That's our go-to song for whenever she's cranky. So the whole family, like everybody, we play that song like a couple times a day or a week. We all know all the lyrics and we just like, sometimes we just text each other like emojis of bananas. And then we know we're thinking about her. Anyway, we play that music. So just playing music in the morning when you're having a really shitty day. So simple, and maybe it's like ridiculous that I'm even saying it, but it does change the vibration of the space that I'm in. Like, it really does. Especially silly songs like that, like, really works. So we did that. Opening up all the drapes, opening the windows, getting like fresh air in, all is an automatic thing that I did, which is also really helpful for clearing space. And then I felt my body, and I have so much pain in my shoulders especially. So what I decided to do was just dress for how I'm feeling. So dress to feel better, which kind of means I want to wear yoga pants and like a sweater or whatever, like just something, like nothing all day. But then I know when I'm out and about and I'm at these offices where everybody's dressing up and I have meetings, like I'm also going to feel shitty because I kind of look like shit. So it's not going to help. So what I did is I compromised. So I put on my favorite yoga pants, which are like really stretchy pants that I wore in the beginning of my pregnancy that I love. And then I put on a really nice dress over that. And then I skipped wearing a bra because the bra makes my shoulders feel worse. So I put on like just the tank top underneath. And that works. So I look like I made an effort today, but I really didn't. I'm sitting right now, like I'm in kind of half lotus recording this and I'm really comfortable. So I'm in clothes. That I feel like I look good in because I have a pretty dress on, but I can still like drop down and put my legs up the wall or do a down dog or like right now, like sit in lotus to record this podcast. So being comfortable is a huge thing. And then I'm thinking about like the past few days, like I haven't given myself that space. I've had a lot of important meetings. So I kind of dressed up like Stockholm style, like in Aruba, I would never, ever think to bother ever. But in Stockholm, because it's a city, I automatically like I'm putting makeup on in the morning and I'm like doing my hair, whatever that means, to fit in. And then yesterday I had so much pain in my shoulders and I was wearing this really uncomfortable like thing. I don't know why. Like what's the purpose in that? I don't wanna live like that. No. So yoga pants and dresses is a good one. And then I put some makeup on that I forgot that I did. But that kind of helped. So at least it looks like I can face the day. And then after that, I grabbed a green juice because I know I need to fuel my body with something that doesn't make me feel like shit. But I also know, like, in a day like today, I need something sweet. I need coffee. Ugh, I need to just, like, not give a second thought to what I'm putting into my body. So it's kind of that same balance, like the yoga pants with the pretty dress. I had a green juice and then immediately a ginormous cup of coffee and a little chocolate bar. That was my breakfast. Okay. Green juice, coffee, and chocolate. It's really interesting. And I did all of this kind of mindlessly, just on the go. But it's helped anyway. It's really, really helped. And then I had this meeting this morning and I had to start my meeting just being super honest, saying I've had the shittiest night of all time. I'm a zombie. Like, please forgive me if I'm not making any sense, or like I can't have this meeting run too long because I'm going to pass out. And just opening with that space and that truth, instead of sitting, dragging through some boring meeting, waiting for it to end, not really paying attention because I'm a zombie, they could all understand and just kind of wrapped it up and did everything really quickly. And, you know, they had kids too, and everything's fine. So I guess the advice, I mean, I don't know, am I giving advice right now? I'm just kind of sharing how I did my thing in a shitty day today. I guess speaking the truth about how we feel is a huge game changer, right? It really, 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 really is. So that helped me move through some businessy stuff this morning. And then I decided I'm supposed to be writing today and I have a bunch of things to do and a giant inbox full of emails I have to do. I'm not going to do any of that at all. I'm just going to go meet up with Lea Luna and Dennis, and we're going to maybe go to a museum or maybe go to the park, go have a Swedish fika, which is basically eating sweets while sitting down in cafes endlessly, my favorite thing to do. And I'm just going to cut myself some slack today.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Life is supposed to be a journey of seeking and discovering the big, meaningful things. Love, purpose, experience, not trying to find your keys. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first ever tracking device. And now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things ever again. It seems like the question my husband and I ask each other the most these days is not how are you, but have you seen my phone? Baby brain is real, people. With our busy schedule and little girl, I've seriously considered putting a tracker not just on our phones and our keys, but also on my shoes, my pants. Yes, I forgot where my pants were once. And also Lea Luna's special stuffed animals. We use one on our dog Ringo's collar whenever we're out for a walk, since he's the master escape artist, and it's kept my mind much more at ease. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. Place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose, so your keys, your wallets, even your dog's collar. It's small enough to fit anywhere. Whenever you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, you can use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. It even has a powerful LED light so you can find anything, even in the dark. Lose your phone? Just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone rings, even if it's on silent. You can even locate your item if it's miles away, because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the entire world. Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. So go to thetracker.com and enter promo code YOGAGIRL to get 20% off any order. That's thetracker.com, promo code YOGAGIRL for 20% off. Thetracker.com, promo code YOGAGIRL. And if I were to reflect at the end of the day, and I know this, like what helped me feel better after a really shitty night, I know this podcast is going to be at the very top of that list. And here's why, and I keep coming back to this. I feel like every podcast we talk about this, but sharing is so important. Like, it's the most important thing. If you've ever taken a yoga class with me or come to a retreat or a workshop, you know that I incorporate sharings with strangers, like in everything that I teach all the time. So sitting face to face with a stranger, opening up about a theme while someone else holds space for you. So it's not a conversation, it's not advice giving, it's just sharing. And that's exactly what recording a podcast is like if you do it alone in a weird meditation room like I'm doing right now. When no one is sitting in front of you kind of guiding the conversation or asking you questions or even like sympathizing or saying, yeah, I agree, I know exactly what you mean. It's always cutting them off a little bit, the other person, or it's always in a way dictating where that conversation goes or where that sharing goes. But when it's non-reactive or when it's all alone like this, it takes us places and things come up that we maybe didn't know we were sitting on. Like for me just now, I'm having a realization of I don't want to be just a mom. And how do I know that there's truth in that? Because my voice quivers a little bit and I feel myself like I could cry right away. There's truth in that statement. I don't want to be just a mom. So maybe there's a way that you can enter a similar space with me right now. Maybe right after this podcast. Like, do you have the space either to on your own? I mean, doing a sharing like this, if you're all alone and you're not speaking into a microphone like I am doing right now, but journaling on a theme is a really, really good thing to do. So just expressive writing, just putting pen to paper. Maybe it begins with, today I feel like, something as simple as that. And you don't let that pen leave your paper until 10 minutes have passed, and you see what comes out of that. And I love that type of exercise, that type of journaling exercise. I do them a lot. Sometimes it means that I write the same thing over and over again. Like, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. Or this is stupid. Or like, ugh, everything is blah. Like, I don't know. It's just nothing comes out for a while. But the more you write and the more you just continue writing and you're just writing and breathing, it becomes almost like meditation in action. And you'll be surprised at what comes out, like things that we carry throughout the day that we're just, and I don't know why that's the case. I want to change that so bad. I want to change that so bad. Why do we have to accumulate stuff? Why is that the normal? The normal is that we accumulate stuff, everything, all the time. And I teach and practice this like for a living, like the sharing, the vulnerability, the opening up, the yoga, and still it's fucking hard. Like still it's really, really hard. Why do we accumulate? So I'm accumulating right now, like weeks and weeks of not sleeping. I'm accumulating tension in my body from not feeling good. I'm doing a lot at the same time. I'm working really hard. And I guess I'm just also holding on to this notion of, I don't want to be just a mom. Maybe there's fear there in me. Like I'm scared I'm going to lose myself. I'm going to lose that part of myself that isn't a mom. Everything I was before and everything that I still am, like I'm still all of those things. I'm still Rachel, like I'm still who I am. There's just an added dimension to my being now, which is also being Leah Luna's mom. And right now, that dimension is taking over everything, and it's making me lose parts of myself that I need to feel good in who I am. So that's my challenge. How can I incorporate that? How can I return to everything that I am, to all the important pieces, and not become swallowed up in motherhood alone? That's my challenge. I didn't know that this was my challenge until I spoke those words out loud just now. So what is your challenge? What are you sitting on right now? What are you working on? What are you accumulating? Are you able to find release? Are you able to find clarity? I guess maybe clarity is a better word. Can you find clarity through opening up and through sharing? And I mean, it's not that hard. Okay, what's hard is, yeah, and this is something that, I don't know, the only way for it to become easier is to practice it. What's hard is showing vulnerability. What's hard is allowing your heart to open. And whether that means like a really serious conversation with a loved one, allowing yourself to cry in front of other people, telling other people that you're not feeling great, like, you know, getting down on that level where you're just real. And then I guess we stop accumulating, or I guess it's possible to stop accumulating. I can see my timeline of accumulating stuff. It's much shorter now than what it used to be. I think I had at least like a good 15, 20 years of accumulating everything that ever happened to me. Like I carried all of that. And it was a rock that I carried on my shoulders every single day. Everything from my parents divorcing when I was little, to my stepdad dying, to my mom trying to commit suicide, to being bullied in school, bunch of stuff, like everything that came my way, I just swallowed that and I carried it. And it was like I had a little backpack that I was just filling with rocks. And after, you know, 18, 20 something years, like that's a heavy backpack to carry. And I found that first release. It was through meditation, through yoga. It required a shitload of crying and releasing, and also realizing that I was carrying these things in the first place, because you can't really make that choice to let it go and to work with it, to do the work, to release it, unless you know that you're carrying it. So you have to have this other level of awareness, of consciousness, to actually get to that place. So if you feel like you're walking around with a backpack full of baggage, full of shit, don't fret. Because the fact that you know that you're carrying this, it means you've already taken the first step towards releasing it and letting it go. But after those first 18 years or 20 years of accumulation, I released a ton. But then, of course, life happens, right? So you accumulate new things, and then you release again, and then you accumulate again. And I find those moments of actually being able to make a massive difference in your life, like a massive change where you really let something go, where you really stop beating yourself up about things, where you really let go of shame and guilt and you forgive people and you forgive yourself and you have an epiphany of some sort or a life change, usually that comes from going through something really, really fucking hard. Like usually it starts in a painful place. So for me, I can trace these moments back into challenges. Like I can see my best friend passed away in 2014. I can trace a lot of opening in my life, a lot of beautiful things that came my way and a lot of changes that I made for myself, like a huge opening in my life. I can trace back to the pain that I went through and that I still feel in that loss. Every time something really fucked up happens, it's there to take you places. And it doesn't mean that everything, you know, everything happens for a reason. Like that's a stupid fucking thing to say. And how can you even absorb something like that when you're in the midst of grief? Like it's really, really hard. But there's always a silver lining. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So if you're in that challenging place, I want you to trust that it's taking you somewhere really good. And if you're not in that challenging place right now, maybe you're not moving through something heavy like a trauma, but you're in a place like I am, like where you're just feeling kind of sort of shitty. Maybe it's a bad day. Maybe it's a bad month. Maybe it's a bad, you know, how long can we walk around feeling kind of shitty before we do something about it? How can you inspire this space? How can you inspire this low vibration to create an opening? What's the lesson here? What's the opening here? What's the learning here? So once I can establish, okay, I don't want to be just a mom. How can I make space in my life as a mom for all those other things? You know, what does it mean? And I think for me, it's definitely, I mean, it's not just time away from my baby, because I don't want to be away from her at all. I mean, it is, yes, I need rest. I need a good night's sleep. Like, I think we can all establish that. But maybe it's incorporating, you know, into this motherhood, into this newfound dimension. Maybe it's more incorporating all of my other things into that instead of seeing them as separate. And I think also acknowledging the fact that this is temporary. Like she's not going to be this little forever. Every week something changes. And I know in a couple of months I'm going to look back and I'm going to really miss this time because it's never coming back. Like it's fleeting. I have a little baby. She's almost crawling. Like how did that happen? How did that happen? So I think that's the challenge of actually sitting and enjoying the moment as it unfolds right now, even the challenging parts, but also always keeping that awareness of being able to open up so we can make space for the changes that we need to make. And I need a change for sure. Like if I keep on going at this pace with no sleep, I'm not going to be here for very long, I think. Be here as in like be able to hold this space and to record these podcasts and teach my classes and live my life the way I want to live it. I need to make that change.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I love a delicious glass of wine. It's one of my favorite ways to wind down the day or kick off the night. That perfect, yummy glass really enhances the moment. Wink understands this. That's why they started their own company, to give you access to exceptional wines from around the world so you can have more of those moments. How do you select your wine? Do you always buy the same bottle or blindly grab something with an interesting label? I admit I have my few go-to bottles, but Wink has opened me up to new wines that I absolutely love. There are over 10,000 varieties of wine grapes known around the world. Well, why limit yourself? Wink will send you varieties that you never knew you would love with labels beautifully designed by local artists. Each bottle truly is a unique work of art, both inside and out. Wink works with your taste preference. So Wink will even introduce you to new, rare, and custom wines that are not available anywhere else and tell you the story behind each one. Just go to trywink.com, take a brief palate profile quiz, and Wink will recommend distinct and interesting wines that are customized to your palate, shipping them directly to your door every single month. All of Wink's bottles start as low as $13, bottles that could retail at $20 or more. You can get high-quality wine for nearly half the price with Wink since they work directly with the winemakers and have taken out the middlemen. There are no membership fees. You can skip a month or cancel at any time. And Wink has a 100% satisfaction guarantee, so you never have to pay for a bottle that you don't like. Right now, Wink is offering listeners $20 off your first order when you go to trywink.com/yogagirl. That's trywink, spelled T-R-Y, wink.com/yogagirl to get $20 off of your first order right now. Try wink.com/yogagirl. So for you in your life, and I get really stuck on like, oh God, okay, I'm sorry, I'm rambling now. I get really stuck on things that people tell me when I'm not in a good space. So when I'm not sleeping, for instance, and I feel crappy, or right now I'm feeling like a semi-worthless in every other area, like I'm just a mom and I'm not feeling so good about just that because I'm not feeling good in my body because I'm not sleeping. But when people tell me things, I take them really seriously and I become really sensitive about things. So one of the other things that someone told me the other day was, like, your podcasts all have kind of the same themes. Like, I keep coming back to this idea of opening up, this idea of vulnerability, this idea of sharing and having that change your life. And then I took that to heart and I was like, oh my God, no, I need to make the podcast more versatile and more diverse. I need to have clear themes. I need to stick to the point. And I found myself like in a Word document, like outlining like how I should do my podcast because they're super important. And then I stopped myself like, what the fuck? Who decides what this space is? I do. What dictates what I speak of every week? I do. And the idea of just sitting here and talking about whatever is showing up in my life, like that's a really beautiful thing. If you want to find an inspirational podcast with a super clear theme and awesome, like famous guests, yeah, there's a gazillion of those that you can choose. They're all on iTunes, like go enjoy. I think what I'm creating here is something a little different. And hopefully soon, I'll be able to invite you into a space digitally, so online, where you can do these types of sharings with me. But more on that later. So I would like to leave or end this podcast with a super clear ask of you. Like a really, really, really clear ask of you. If you resonate with anything I say, and I think a lot of you guys do because a lot of people listen to these podcasts, and even if I record something and I feel like, oh, what was that? You guys keep coming back and listening every week. So I think I shouldn't second guess myself, but I should kind of own that what I'm doing here is important and it's resonating with a lot of people. So I want to leave you with a super clear thing. Can you today, like please, 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 today, after finishing this podcast, can you sit with a person, anyone, and can you speak openly and truthfully about how you are feeling right now? Like, can you really do that? Can you really, really, really do that for me? So whoever comes your way first, if it's like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse or a friend or a mom or a dad or a daughter or a son, like anyone or a stranger on the bus station, like, can you sit with someone and just take a moment and say, hey, I'd like to speak truthfully to you for a moment. I'm going through some stuff. Or if you're not going through some stuff, like, can you just share how you feel today? Can you openly and honestly and truthfully have someone else hold space for you to share the way you held space for me just now? I would love for that to happen, and I would love for you to share that with me. Maybe send me a little email or shoot me a comment on Instagram and just see how that makes you feel afterwards. Does it change something in your day? Does it change how you perceive your life? We're going somewhere, okay? There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but I'm kind of sensing that I'm onto something really big. Like really, really, really big in terms of creating space for healing on a global scale. Like I can feel like I'm touching on something and it's huge. I haven't quite grasped it yet, but it's close. So I'm gonna end on that note, I think. Let's take a deep breath in and out. Thank you for holding space, and please today try to find someone to hold space for you, remembering we are all in this together. We all feel the same. I love you guys, and Let's see what next week brings. This just keeps getting more interesting. Okay, bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. And thank you for holding space for me to feel. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart. You can find these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And of course, don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Huge thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work. And of course, thank you to my sponsors, TransferWise, Latote, Tracker, and Wink. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I will see you next week.